Welcome to the Red Fox Roto Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm the host of the Bullpen Report, Dan Thompson. Well, it's Groundhog Day again. The world of closers and saves has been life imitating art. It feels like we're living the same day over and over again, like Bill Murray's character did in Groundhog Day. I mean, injuries, check that box off. Clayton Beter, Caleb Thielbar, the latest to the IL. Demotions, check. Jordan Romano was unceremoniously DFA'd by the Angels. Closers just getting blown up. Check that off too. Pete Fairbanks, walk three, allowed three runs in a save situation last night. His ERA is now over 10. It's the same day, every day. But today is Tuesday. It's April 28th. So it's just a news and notes day. We'll start with a quick recap of the weekend free agency over on the NFBC. We had Louis Varland, Tanner Scott, and Ryan Walker where they were available. All drew very large average bid amounts. Lots of triple-digit bids for all three guys. And in a normal year for closers, those would be massively inflated prices. This year, though, I kind of get it. I mean, a lot of owners are already feeling desperate for saves. So let's begin the team-by-team notes, where we'll start in Atlanta. And Robert Suarez, not unexpectedly, has filled in very well for the injured Raisel Iglesias, saving two games in the first week of the Iglesias IL stint. Now, Raisel isn't expected to miss much more than the minimum, after some imaging revealed no structural issues in his shoulder. So we should expect Raisel Iglesias to resume as the club's closer when he returns, as potentially as early as May 5th. Now, as good as Robert Suarez has been this year, and he has a 0.71 ERA, a 0.87 whip, his K-minus walk is over the magic 20% number, Raisel Iglesias has been better. His ERA is zero. The whip is 0.69. Nice. His K-minus walk is over 30%. So he wouldn't deserve to lose his role due to an injury. Now, no bullpen has been besieged by injury more than the Chicago Cubs. After Caleb Thielbar seemed to have stepped into the closer role, he was forced to the IL by a hamstring strain. And that put the Cubs' top four options for saves on the shelf at the same time. Now, the good news is that Phil Maton was activated from the IL last night. The bad news, he allowed three hits, a couple runs in his return. But due to the state of the bullpen on the north side of Chicago, Maton may quickly slide into some save chances anyway. Now, the better news is that while Daniel Palencia may miss several more weeks, he has a lat strain. The report suggests that his lat issue does not look like a long-term injury, so the Cubs may get their regular closer back relatively soon. Josh Hader is still at least a month away from rejoining the Astros bullpen. We know it's been talked about a lot. Brian Abreu is out of the picture. He's not returning to save chances anytime soon. Eniel De Los Santos has the last three saves for the team, but he's also allowed six earned runs over his last three appearances. So the cracks are starting to show. He's probably the short-term favorite for saves anyway. Brian King is doing Brian King things. If he threw right-handed, he'd surely be the Astros closer right now. But since he doesn't, you know, the best we can hope for is an occasional situational save opportunity. Fellow lefty Bennett Souza was activated from the injured list on Saturday. 2025 Bennett Souza would be a welcome addition to the late innings, perhaps even sharing in save opportunities. But it may take a little time for Souza to settle in. He walked four batters, recorded just one out in his first appearance. In Kansas City, Lucas Erceg is probably still the Royals closer, but he has one save since April 11th. He's walked seven batters in 4 2/3 innings over that span. So his hold on the job is tenuous at best. Maybe Matt Strom could function as a stopgap replacement if Urseg gets pulled from the closer role, but like Urseg, Strom hasn't looked like himself. His velocity, swinging strike, strikeout rates are all down. His walk rate, contact rates are up. If Matt Strom somehow did gain the ninth inning job or a share of it, it would be hard to trust him for long. The Royals' best reliever so far has been Daniel Lynch the fourth. He's opened the year with a 0.87 ERA, a whip under 0.5. His starting pitcher's repertoire is really succeeding in these one-inning relief stints. Now, Lynch is not likely to ascend to the closer role by himself, but this is someone we have to take notice of when a pitcher looks this good in a struggling bullpen. Daniel Lynch the fourth may end up a nice sleeper at some point. But it feels likely now that the door will be open for Carlos Estevez to get a chance to resume as the Royals closer when he returns from his foot contusion, even if it's not immediately. Estevez finally threw a bullpen session Saturday. He's set to face live hitters today. And what we all want to know is, where's the velocity? But all Matt Quatraro has said is that Estevez was in the 90-plus range in his bullpen. Now, Estevez averaged almost 96 last season, and he'll need to be at least in that vicinity to be effective. Now, we'll move out to L.A. and the Angels. Jordan Romano began this year like he was back in Toronto. He opened the season with 4 saves and 5 hitless innings. But then the Angels went to New York, and Romano blew back-to-back save chances against the Yankees. But even through April 22nd, Jordan Romano hadn't pitched in any inning besides the ninth until Saturday when he entered in the eighth inning, presumably just to get some work in, but he coughed up 4 more runs. So most teams would react to this and demote a struggling closer to low leverage, but the Angels aren't most teams, apparently. Jordan Romano was designated for assignment on Sunday. He's just gone now. So Kurt Suzuki had previously mentioned Chase Silseth as a closer option. I really didn't see it then. I still don't see it now. In his 4 games since the name drop, Silseth has covered 3 innings. He's allowed 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 strikeout against 2 walks. For the season, Silseth has a 1.65 whip. K-minus walk is 4.2%. Those just are not closer numbers. But Drew Pomeranz has not pitched well this year. He shouldn't really be an option right now. Maybe Sam Bachman is a possibility. I've seen his name floated. The answer for the Angels could be Kirby Yates, but he has his own problems. First, he's on the IL. Second, his velocity on his rehab assignment has been down a couple miles per hour from last year. He's allowed multiple runs in 2 of his 3 rehab appearances. Ben Joyce, maybe. I mean, he's further away than Yates as he makes his way back from last year's shoulder surgery. Joyce was probably always miscast as a closer, but that may not matter if nobody else on the Angels steps up before he is able to come back. Now, in Sacramento, Joel Kuhnel having 4 saves for the A's on April 27th is one of the more unexpected results of MLB bullpen so far. But just when a lot of the fantasy community was convinced that Kuhnel was the A's capital C closer, there he was in the 4th inning on Sunday after JT Ginn left the game injured. Closers don't usually pitch in the 4th inning of games. So Kuhnel could still get save chances. But like I've been saying, he's not the closer. The A's are, they'll probably continue to be, a matchup-based bullpen. We're not likely to see anybody run away with the 9th inning. But if anyone could, it would probably be Jack Perkins or Justin Sterner, not Joel Kuhnel. Perkins has a couple multi-inning saves in the past week. Now, he's thrown 6 times, and covered 11 and a third innings. So that suggests he's not going to settle into the ninth inning exclusively. But Jack Perkins would be the A's best closer option if he ever did. So that's something to keep an eye on. Now in San Francisco, manager Joe Vitello has not made things easy for us. To start out March, he was using Ryan Walker like a regular closer. Once it turned to April, Vitello was suddenly using Walker to relieve Robbie Ray and in other non-save situations far from the ninth inning. So when we saw Walker blow a traditional save chance on April 18th, after not even appearing in the ninth inning since March 30th, it felt like the reality show of Walker, Giants closer, had been canceled at that point. So naturally, in this year of bullpen chaos, Walker went out, saved a couple games in a row against the Dodgers. Half of owners in the NFBC online championship had already cut him at that point. But once again, I mean, it appears Ryan Walker is the Giants' primary closer. Now, who knows for how long this time? We've seen lefty Eric Miller earn a couple saves. He could continue to get more on occasion. But the two best relievers in the bullpen so far in 2026 have been Keaton Wynn and Caleb Killian. Wynn appears the most likely to be the next man up behind Walker as the right-handed option. Keaton Wynn has a 2.5 ERA to go along with their really gorgeous 0.56 whip, K-minus walk, very nice 28.9%. Wynn has pitched the eighth inning with a lead four times compared to twice for Caleb Killian, and Wynn has five holds to Killian's two. So he's definitely been much more involved in those late leverage innings. Now we saw some interesting news coming out of Tampa. Could Griffin Jacks rejoin the Rays rotation? I say rejoin because he used to be a starting pitcher when he was with the Twins. So Jacks himself said, yeah, we're talking about it. That's the quote from him. So apparently the Rays are looking at maybe stretching Jacks out as a starter at some point this year. So Brian Baker's looking very secure, and he could end up one of the best bullpen waiver wire pickups of the year. Now in Texas, those who paid, you know, triple digits or a lot in FAB to acquire Jacob Junis, hopefully that was not any listeners of this show. Well, you've been rewarded with exactly zero saves. Junis has mostly pitched in the eighth since that week where he saved three games. The Rangers don't have an established closer, so Junis will probably fall into some saves again at some point. But it does seem I was right to caution against paying up for him in free agency. Now, of course, it seemed at the time that Cole Wynn and his zero ERA were the primary competition for Junis. But Wynn's ERA now sits at 4.5 after multiple outings where he allowed three runs. Wynn, though, is still being used in very trusted situations. He's still being deployed mostly against the opposition's toughest batters. So maybe some rough ratios are to be expected when he's facing the other team's best hitters. The most recent Rangers save went to lefty Jacob Latz, who opened the season with 9 no-hit innings, and he still allowed only 4 hits and 14 and 2/3. So on any given game, it seems that it's Junis and Jacob Latz the most likely to record a save. In Toronto, Jeff Hoffman has been maybe the best bad pitcher in baseball this year. If you just heard 41% strikeout rate, 46.2% ground balls, 19.9% swinging strike rate, and a 2.18 skills independent ERA, that's the Sierra. If you just heard those numbers alone, you'd think this guy was heading towards an all-star appearance. But his actual ERA is 6.94, the whip is 1.97, and his walk rate is 11.5%. Now, I've already covered how Hoffman has been ridiculously unlucky with balls in play. His BABIP is 560. Major league average is usually around half that. So it's no surprise he's been removed from the Blue Jays closer role. His command has been lacking. You know, too many mistake pitches have led to homers, blown saves. But you see those underlying metrics, and he's still a highly skilled reliever who's been destroyed by some bad luck on top of those mistakes. I still think he has a chance to get his job back if he can string together some scoreless innings. And the fact that John Schneider, his manager, appears to be in his corner is a positive sign. But in the meantime, Louis Varland headlines the proposed committee approach to the ninth inning in Hoffman's absence. It has been Varland with the first two saves since Hoffman was demoted. And NFBC players paid fab prices as if Varland is locked into that closer role for a while. But that may not be the case. Still, it is a non-zero chance that Varland really does seize the closer job. We just shouldn't be convinced that he's done so already. Now we'll finish up in Washington, where closer Clayton Beter was placed on the IL Sunday with forearm soreness. We don't yet know the severity, but forearm soreness is never good. Beter was on his way to assuming Kyle Finnegan's old role as the world's okayest closer, and in Finnegan's former home in Washington. That 3.48 ERA, the 1.26 whip, combined with a 19.6% strikeout rate, downright Finnegan-esque. But in a good week for relievers named Varland, Gus Varland seems poised to absorb most of Beter's ninth inning opportunities. Gus Varland had already saved a couple games while Beter was healthy, could be more while he's not. Some saves could also go to Paxton Schultz, so it could be both. But chances are it won't impact the outcomes of too many fantasy baseball leagues. So that does it for today. This has been the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Listen for me again on Saturday for another look ahead at the weekend free agency targets. But until then, let's close it out.